to put them inside traps until morning. They'll survive, you know, for a day, till morning time, and then that's when the vet opens. So those are the kind of issues that a timetable has versus a feral cat. As you say, you can't really just give them the schedule and a memo and hope they comply.
Yeah, well, it is for us a little bit of a problem. I think the appointment is 8 o'clock Friday morning. So we might have to put the cage out sometime, maybe Thursday, when we'd normally give the cat some afternoon food and see what she does. The other one, you know, I'm just going to take to a private vet. Because even if I take him to the town, they'll alter him, but they don't do the other stuff, the deworming and everything else. So, all right, so other than that, enough for cats. Don't want to bore people too much. Must be cooled down by the water these last couple of days.
I'm sorry, what was the question about the water? Go ahead and, yeah, well, that'll be our last cat topic for today. What was your water question?
I was saying it must, given the temperatures that we have here, it must be really cool down by the ocean on days like this.
Yeah, it's interesting in that salt water has a buffering capacity. And often you'd be surprised, but yeah, that most of the problem is the wind. So even if the actual temperature, we usually have, like when I listen to WINS, usually our temp is a little higher, but there's that ocean breeze, and that'll chill you to the bone, and that's been some of the issue.
I forget what salt water is in the wintertime, probably in the 40s. Because it doesn't freeze, so it must be somewhere, something in the 40s, and that's actually warm compared to the land mass at 10 degrees or 15 degrees, so the warm air rises over the ocean and draws the air from land across it, you know, thus the winds and things, but yeah, it's interesting, it's, and let's say it's the wind probably more than anything. We had a couple of wind chills here. I think it was Saturday morning. The wind chill was either 11 or minus 11, something like that. It was very, very cold.
I do remember. And Rockaway, for interesting reasons, has its own St. Paddy's Day, and they make their own St. Paddy's Day parade. And that was on Saturday. Men in, you know, kilt slash skirts on that in that weather on Saturday, I give them a lot of credit.
One of the guys who lives in Breezy Point, almost at the very end, his three kids are all bagpipe players, and I think while they've probably gone through college at this point, I'm just trying to think how old they are. They all could have been in college, I'm not sure. But they're all bagpipe players, and they, you know, they get these calls to play in a variety of events. I know they do normally play in Breezy Point, but almost anywhere you see bagpipers in the city, and even further away, his kids will be doing that. I'm wondering if they're taking a ride out to Breezy Point at all, whether or how much of the reconstruction has taken place there.
KQKNB WA6ABC for IG. There were a lot of people out on, you know, it's a kind of an Irish party thing, you know. No weather's going to get to those guys, so they're out in force. I don't think it was any less populated. I think there were probably less spectators, but everybody was out in force, and Breezy's looking good these days. Everything's been built up nicely. I actually needed to see the doctor for a follow-up blood test, and because it's Rockaway, everybody wants to see these one good doctor in Rockaway, so the lines are sometimes out the door even if you make an appointment. So, you know, Saturday, nobody wanted to go out, and had no waiting, and blood pressure is down to 110 over 70, which I haven't seen probably since my 20s or so. I've been working very hard on diet and not as much exercise, some exercise, but lifestyle, etc., and been a lot better. I'm going to switch to my audio studio that I have hooked up an Echolink. Interested to know if you hear much of a difference. It'll probably sound pretty much the same. Echolink lousy. Give me a sec. K2KNBW, A6ABC.
K2KMB, KC2YSK, good morning.
K2ESY, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Jay. Good morning, Andy. Jay, pick it up, pass it on to Andy, and then it'll go back to Mike. This is K2KMB. Good morning, guys.
All right, good morning. Listen, Neil, I'm going to let you know, Richie, Echolink is not working on the 440 machine. One way only. Neil tried it on this morning, and one-way video could not have a two-way conversation. I don't know, maybe you let the guys know. I'd appreciate it. Andy?
Good morning, Jay. You keep cutting in and out. Just to let you know. I don't know if you got my email. I'm working on the kit. I did the whole next bag of parts. It's coming along nicely. I must have not have held that zebra in place properly to get the correct decimal places. But it worked last night, so I continued. And your clock looks incredible. You're doing a great job on it. It's so amazing.
Let's see if Mike can come back in.
WA6ABC, I'm still setting up here. So, I'm not sure. Was it Andy next in the queue? I'm not sure. Let me send this back to you. Case you can't be WA6ABC. By next round, I'll be set up here at the PC. Back to you.
Hi, Mike. Just be aware you have music playing in the background. Okay. I'm trying to reset. I don't know if Neil has a reset. Just trying to think. Is anybody on there now? Yeah, nobody's on there now. All right, let me see if I can do a reset on the Echolink from here. If not, I have to call the guru. All right, so I'll sign. You guys talk, and let me see if I can reset. K2KND, K, over to you.
All right. Thanks, Rich. And Andy, my signal should be better here, right by the expressway entrance, so it should clear up. Sometimes it's a little nasty around where I first get on. Anyway, I didn't understand what the zebra was. Your email. Yeah, and the clock hit is pretty incredible. It's so many pieces. You know, not complex, but just a lot of stuff. Another time, the turning part. After you proceed.
Go ahead, Mike. Maybe he's still setting up on Echolink. That zebra, that part, it is, it looks like a plate. It's like 1 inch by 3 inch. It's multi-layered. It's probably about 1/8 of an inch thick. It apparently carries the signals through from the, from the spots on the circuit board up to the LED display, up to the LCD display. It's this thin layer that carries the electrical signals, I guess, and it has to be placed onto the main circuit board in just the right way. So I probably had it kilter a little bit when I first tested it. No copy on the
Mike, come back. This is KC2YSK. Noise on your transmission. How are you reading me now, Andy? KC2YSK.
That latest transmission was okay. The one prior to that was a little on the touch and go side. I'm pretty sure they call that part the zebra. If you remember putting the LCD onto the circuit board, there was a thin layer of some type of a circuit that carries the signal from the board up to the the splay. Do you remember that part?
Roger that, yes. It was like a conductive silicon sort of free sort of thing. Very thin layer. And you had to position it just right so everything got conducted through before you secured it.
Yep, that's right. And I probably had it off just a little bit. That's probably so critical. I'm getting more used to putting the solder on. I can see it kind of bubbling, and maybe it's a little on the hot side, but I guess it's the flux in the middle was bubbling. But I can kind of guide the solder onto the iron and the little spots on the board, kind of control how much goes on there. A little tricky. What was my question? I'll get it next time. Let's try Mike again.
Okay, we'll give him the pause because I think he was going to come in through echolink. But I guess it's a different echolink than what's on the 440 machine that wasn't working this morning for Neil. You saw the soldering work I've been doing. But I usually just put the tip of the iron next to the component lead, wait a second, and then feed the solder onto both pieces for a second or two at most. Probably closer to a second, and that's enough to get it on the component lead and pass it through the hole. What I've been checking for on that is on the other side, making sure it actually comes through. It gives it a nice appearance, but it also makes sure that any layers in the middle are all nicely connected. So I guess that one connection of yours that you were concerned with the capacitor was fine.
I hope so. I can see how it beat it up, and it kind of is beat it off the board a little bit. It's smooth out a little bit.
Andy, you totally broke up on that transmission. I didn't get a word.
Talking to me.
KC2YSK. No, I couldn't hear you again. Oh, it was like you couldn't hold the repeater. Where are you?
I'm on Route 110, Huntington. I certainly should be getting through fine.
At that time, I heard you. But that's very strange. Give me a longer transmission. I just want to see if I can hear you on the inverse.
Okay. Coming down the hill while headed east, times that's a little on the tenuous side. I was wondering if you should use a magnifier when you put all of your components on.
Hey, I heard you 9x9 on the input, because I'm right at 110. And no interference, no noise, great transmission. No, I use the magnifier when I'm done with an area just to go and look at the solder joint to make sure I didn't leave any... anything that could touch or it wasn't a good joint. But no, I do that all by hand without glasses. And then I just use the magnifier to just check.
If you only hold the iron to the pad and the... I know you touch the pad and the component, and then the solder on both, touching both of them. You'll hold it for 1 second before the melt, and at least two, three seconds for the melt, by cleaning off the tip of the iron.
Okay, once again, it was like a very broken up signal, or maybe there's something wrong with Peter Antec or something on the input. I heard you, Phil. What I do is I always clean the iron tip on a wet sponge before I use it, so there's no leftover rosin. And I make it a triangle, right? The component lead, the pad, and the tip. A second, maybe a second and a half or 2 seconds, and then I feed the solder. And as soon as the solder hits it, it just melts like instantly. So it's like a second or so longer. And I just feed it a short amount, maybe 1/1000, 2/1000, and then I lift off. And that's working for many years.
82 ESY. Is this any better? I switched over to Selden.
Yeah, I got you. Go ahead.
I think most of my joints, the solder does not go through the hole to the other side. So maybe I should try feeding a little more, or just a moment longer. I'm holding it a little more on the larger pads, the larger joints. I'm feeding a lot of solder, but some of the parts, like there's a shunt, a big piece of metal bar, and there are four long, like, cylinders, I guess, to hold some of the, the whole thing, I don't know how it's, there are four large pillars you have to solder to the board with very large pads, probably part of the structure of the housing of the multimeter.
Candy.
Rich, it's Jay, and Andy's on the Selden machine. Was having trouble holding the repeater just from Route 110, which doesn't make a lot of sense in Huntington, but it wasn't him because I heard him on the inverse and the input really well. Andy, I was talking about, like, for, you know, small components. Yeah, no, for the pads and this and sockets and so forth, you hold it long enough to get a full, you know, full amount of solder there. I was talking about resistors, transistors, that sort of thing. Richie?
Okay, that's funny. Just turned over the phone ring. Let me grab the phone, but I think the Echo Recall 440 is up and running now. I'll get back in a minute. KTKNB.
Jay, you want to try 440?
Sure, meet you there. KC2YSK QSY.
KD2ESY QSY.
K6DBZ, clear.
KTKNB, WTTCSE.
Hey, Steve, W2OSR.
Hey, Bob, what's going on?
I'm out a whole heck of a lot.
There you go. Well, me too. Anyway, got to make a stop on the way, and strangely, at the repeater site.
Okay, and I just looked at my car. I got to take a better look at it, but I think I'm due for my in-state inspection.
Yeah, probably letting that go is not a good idea.
No, I'm looking. The punch mark was in February.
A week late and a dollar short.
Yeah. Oh, well. Last time I did this, it got very expensive.
Yeah. Well, you know, you gotta put the reminder in your phone.
You mean that thing that sits on my desktop?
Yeah. Or somebody else's phone.
No, I gotta. All I have to do is give my wife the date. She'll nag me.
Well, here you go. Yeah, I got it. What was mine? Mine was at the end of December, but I wound up doing it a couple of days early. So now it's at the end of November.
Right, well, I'm going to try. I got physical therapy this morning. That's where I'm heading right now. I'm going to be there in the next 6 minutes. I think when I go from there, I'll go to the Goodyear tire dealership and see if he can do the inspection for me.
There you go. One never knows. Anyway, probably a good idea.
More than likely. realize how busy my town is this hour in the morning. I'm usually still back home in my pajamas.
Hey, there you go. Getting a relatively earlier start.
Have little yellow socks on? KTUPN.
Oh, hi, Rich. You don't count. You started early, that was.
Leave my depot heading home. So, right to the sunshine. Fuck stuff.
You must be still in the Mass Fest area because you're kind of lousy on the signal, but we copy you.
And we got off the first floor with the North Jam. Heading east, slowly.
He'll be good again when he gets up the hill. From the technical end of things, I'm working on something called a switch capacitor audio filter.
Something that I've never run across.
Yeah, it's a nice little device. It uses a single chip. It uses an NE555 for a clock. And that's LM386 as an amplifier. And then the main chip is the filter. And it's configurable for a lot of different things. My problem right now is I gotta get the clock frequency up high enough so I can use it.
Well, all you need is the right components.
Hopefully they'll already shoved it on the board. There's an adjustment there for the frequency. It's running about 10 times lower than it's supposed to be from what I'm able to figure out.
No frequency color?
Originally it was sold as a kit, but the kit isn't available anymore, so I built it on a piece of perforated board using wire wrap technique.
Nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely nothing wrong with it if it works.
See, you know what? The 10-turn pot in the wrong direction.
Well, there's two adjustments on it. It's a filter, so you want to get the center frequency in the right spot. That's supposed to be around 700 hertz. The clock to do that is 100 times over. So I need about 70 kilohertz on the clock. And right now it's at about 7. A little work to do, but there's a couple of adjustments, so we'll see if I can get it closer.
Figure out to turn on the 100 multiplier, huh?
Actually, the 10 times multiplier in this case, I got to kick it in the butt. All right, anyway, I'm here where I'm supposed to be, W2OSR.
Okay. That's what happens when you don't pay attention. Richie, you any closer or are you up the hill yet?
A little bit better now, I think. Still west of exit 19, but I'm higher up now.
Yeah, it's a little bit better. You go further east, you'll get better, even yet.
I gotta check the coax on this too. It's runs through the gate, changed on the side like a door. So every time I open and close it, it gets like a slight twist and then back again. So it's being flipped every time I open and close that. It's been I think about 2 years, so it might be starting to have issues. I should check into that. But think about also putting a bigger antenna on here. Well, most of the guys in the club have all got these big collinear dual band and three band VHF UHF antennas, and I'm starting to have antenna envy. You know, I pull into the parking lot and I don't feel adequate.
Perhaps they should not comment.
Trick is though, where I got it mounted back on the Jeep, it's on a metal mast that sticks up. It's mounted to the behind the spare tire. So when I got on it now, it's one of these half wave collinears that supposedly does not need a ground plane to work. But I see a big difference between this setup and when I used to have it mounted in the roof of my pickup truck, which of course was higher and had a nice metal ground plane around it. I've actually been toying with the idea since I almost never take the hard top off, only if I'm on vacation and I'm going to be going somewhere, so I can't leave it on the street with the soft top on it. I've been toying with the idea of putting a regular antenna mounted through the fiberglass roof, but then either on the outside, painted black because you'd never see it on the roof anyway, putting like a metal sheet or disc, 19 inches in radius around it, to get better results.
Well, I can tell you two things. First of all, the standard NMO spikes in black, so you'll save yourself some paint and wear and tear if you want to go that route. Second, if you do that, what we usually do, because we run across fiberglass roofs on buses from time to time, is you go into Home Depot and you can get the, I'm trying to remember what they call it. It's for air conditioning ducts. It's metallic tape, probably about 5 or 6 inches wide. And we put it on the inside of the roof, usually under a liner of some kind so you don't see it. And that's where we're going to mount the antenna. And use that as a counterpoise, and it works out just fine.
That was the other option. I know they make that stuff, and I was considering doing something like that, too. And I wasn't talking about painting the antenna black. I mean, I know I can get the antenna black. That's what I have on there now to make it. But if I put a sheet or disc of metal on the roof of the, epoxied it down or screwed it down or whatever, and then waterproofed it so it, the holes I put in, they don't leak, at least temporarily, that's what I would paint black. The antenna I know I can get. I used to spray paint all my antennas black even before you could buy them that way. I would put a little, take some duct tape or something first and tape over the middle of the loading coil if it had one on it, like on the old 440 collinears and stuff, and then spray paint it black. And I would do that just to make sure that the carbon in the paint or whatever wasn't shorting out the two elements above and below the loading coil, or phasing coil, I should say. Then after I spray painted, I had to pull the tape off because the coil was already black. That worked out pretty nice.
Yeah, no, they've had antennas for 20-some-odd years, so that's never been an issue. And I would put the, whatever metal you're going to do, you want it on the underside of the roof, because that's where the bounce grabs the ground, not on the outside.
That's true. The inside's white. I can always paint it white from underneath, so it's not noticeable. But I've also been tested to, they make this kind of like insulation for sound and temperature that you can install inside the hard tops on the Jeeps to make them a little more civilized. I got it uncivilized in here. But those are all options. So, but we'll see. Still not 100% sure what I want to do. What I may do is if one of my antennas has an NMO mount on it, I think most of it is their SO239. But if one of them has the NMO, I might try to borrow it for a day or something and drive around in areas where it had been spotty before to see how much of a difference it makes.
Any other? Let's see. I'm just trying to think. I have an NMO mag now. I don't know how you deal with that, though.
That could be tough, because I think the body of the aluminum panels, if I remember correctly, is something. At least some of them are. But yeah, mag mounts, that would be tough. If anything, I'd rather just do a regular mount. I have NMO mag mounts, but this one's on a mast right now up behind the spare tire. So it's like, actually, it keeps it low enough. The base of the antenna is about even with my third tail light, so it's not at roof level. So anything I put up on the roof would gain already by getting another foot or so higher and away from the metal grid that's in the defroster for the rear window as well. I don't know if that's affecting anything.
Probably not. I don't think the height's an issue.
Now, all I know is my old car, I had two separate antennas, a 2-meter antenna and a 440 mounted in the trunk. or the trunk lid, I should say. And then when I got the pickup truck and I mounted, not using a mag mount, but, you know, a regular body mount right in the middle of the roof of the pickup truck, man, that thing had phenomenal performance. It was really nice.
Yeah, well, the mounting is where it's at. You know, I'm using a multi-band antenna myself, but it's a commercial one, and it's actually shorter than a VHF quarter wave by a tiny bit.
Hey, what would you recommend, by the way, for a quick disconnect? I have a both Hustler HF verticals that I can put on the back in a trailer hitch mount, and, you know, it's a stainless steel ball, whatever, that goes underneath the ball mount, and then I can mount that, or I have a screwdriver antenna as well, but I want to get a good ground. However, I want to be able to take it off. I don't want to leave that on the car all the time. Again, it's only going to be when I want to use it. So I could run multiple pieces of braid going to the frame of the Jeep, but then I was thinking of, I don't make like power poles in 100 amp big sizes like they use on forklifts and stuff. I was thinking of using one of those as a quick disconnect in the ground connection for something like that. Would that work, or what would you suggest?
I don't know. They've had to use that type of antenna. And you're right, I do know that power poles use a considerably higher current connector. They use them in UPSs also for the APC uses them for their battery connections. They can quick disconnect the batteries and sometimes use it for external batteries. They have an external battery box, and that's how they connect them up. But who's done stuff? Jim, W2KFE.
I know him pretty well. I see him almost every Monday night. And I've seen the installations that he has, but his are pretty much permanently mounted. And I'm looking for something that would be, like, when I want to slip it into the trailer hitch and then just make a quick connect. Like, right now I just have one piece of braided copper line. It's got very, very fine braids, but I think it's got about 100 strands in it. And I just have a bullet connector to disconnect it, and that's not really sufficient. I really need to run a bunch of them. But I'm looking for something. Somebody had even suggested the power connectors that they use on forklifts to plug them in. They're big. They're like 3-4 inches across, I think. So I could put a whole bunch of braid going in both sides of that, I suppose, and then unplug and plug it in. I don't know how much resistance that would give you, but better than I have now.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, anytime you try to do a quick disconnect, DC wise, it's great. RF wise, I'd hesitate to say.
I know. I don't really know what else to try, although there's something that would have like a blade type connector. And that's why I was thinking of power poles, because they tend to like wipe each time. Kind of get a good connection, but I'll have to play around and see. Of course, ultimately, when I retire in a couple of years, that won't be an issue because I can leave it on the vehicle because the vehicle will be at my house, not parked on the street in Queens.
You know, maybe you're looking at this from the wrong point of view. Maybe the idea is to have a stud mount on the vehicle where you can make the connection, and you need a Like, they do it for racing cars. Take the tires off. They have like a knockoff. So you take the tire off real quick and then put it back on. Something like that for a good ground connection.
Yes, that is something I have considered. Matter of fact, I went to a local guy in Hicksville who all he does is Jeep work and modifies them and repairs them and all kinds of stuff for doing heavy off-road. And I wanted to know if he could weld a bracket to the frame of the Jeep and have it just extend out maybe 2 or 3 inches past the bumper off on the left-hand side. The trailer hitch works, but it rattles around a little bit. You know, it sticks out quite a bit. And then I could always just use a quick disconnect like Hustler makes for their mast and take the mast off. But the grounding and everything would stay there. That's no big deal. And the coax, running through the rear hatch, so that's not a problem either. But it's basically, I just want to try to get a really good ground on it. So that's probably the way I think I would end up going, is doing something like that. But when I spoke to him about it, he wanted to know if I was going to change the bumper and put an aftermarket bumper on it. That's a popular thing to do with Jeeps. I still got the stock one on. I said, because you don't want me to charge you a few $100 or something to do it, make it look nice. He was leery to just weld something on. He goes, that could look schlocky. If I do it, I want to make it look nice. You know, that's him talking, not me. And when he looked at what I wanted to do, and he was actually, because part of the bumper is plastic, he was thinking of putting a mount almost inside the bumper and then cut a hole big enough so that the lower part of the screwdriver would fit through it and have it go like that. He says, but if you're going to put an aftermarket bumper on, do that first.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Listen, I got to sneak out of here. I'm just getting to my stop. I got to pull into the driveway and check in. So let me discreetly leave a 2UPS WB2ZSE.
No problem, Steve. Get you later, 2UPS.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. N2QXI, is it? I think so. N2QXI, W2TE. Thank you for the call. Name here is Walt. I'm in Babylon.
I'm in Floral Park on Jericho Turnpike. How are you doing today? Are you mobile or I'm on my way to Whitestone? So I'm mobile, and how's your agenda for the day?
No, I'm fixed. My mobile days are more or less over. I'm fixed here in Babylon, and just listening not only to this repeater, but also to the 685 machine, the Great South Bay Amateur Radio Club machine. And I'm also on the HF bands, quite active. So, Jericho Turnpike, fine. In Floral Park and on your way to Whitestone. Very good. So I guess you're on your way to work. I've been retired a long time and living the life of leisure and playing radio.
Well, we get some Great South Bay guys out for our event at Tanner Park. We do one of those fundraising walks in October. So we get the park covered with Aries and Great South Bay radios, and it works out very well for us.
Okay, what is your name and where is your home QTH?
Bravo, Oscar Bravo, and home is Franklin Square. Just south of Garden City here in Nassau County. But we go out to Tanner Park for an event once a year.
Okay, I find on the Franklin Square, but I did not get the name. You may have got caught in the repeater not coming up quite right. Whatever, give me your name again.
Net tonight at 8:30 W2VL repeater system.
This is Bob Bravo, Oscar Bravo. I am stopping for coffee now, so I'm going off the air in Franklin Square and Bravo, Oscar Bravo. November 2, Quebec X-ray India. I'll be going clear as I get my coffee.
Okay, very good, Bob. Thank you for the call. Enjoy coffee, and we'll meet you down the line, I guess. and find Montana Park and so forth. Maybe I'll be there this October. So with that, the W2TE will be listening. Take care.
Cats. I'm gonna get in touch with him, but maybe you you could find me a best buddy when I get into the new place. I'd love a black and white tabby. One that's real friendly and outgoing.
Okay, Richie, that's real easy to do. There are hundreds of cats out there that would love to have somebody like you. So, when the time comes, it won't take less than 2 days to get you a cat. I mean it.
That's good, Barry. You know, I love dogs, too. But my situation, it's easier for me to take care of a cat than a dog. So I think that's the best thing. And Jingles was a wonderful cat. You put my antennas up for me.
What does that have to do with Jingles? Roll that over me again. You mean when you move, will I put your antennas up for you? I think that's what you were just asking me. I'm going to put the pieces together. If that was the question, the answer is of course. Absolutely.
And I switched subjects. And yes, that was the question. I want to get them up as soon as possible. The wheels is trying to get me a rental right around this area, 2-bedroom. And, first we have to go to contract.
Hey, Rich, and I got to go into the supermarket, so I will talk to you in a little while. This was in 2MB, and I'll see you soon.
Okay, Bobby, take care. And 2MB, and 2EO.
WBT USA.
Hello, Steve, and 2EO.
Hey, good morning, Rich. How are you?
I'm very good today, Steve. Not like the past couple of weeks. I feel great.
Excuse me. Yeah, well, that's a good thing. And it's not snowing out. It's not raining out. Not warm out, but, you know, that's tomorrow.
Okay, Steve. You said tomorrow. Is there snow coming?
Actually, the weather people had been mumbling that about next week, next week, and end of this week, I guess. Maybe see something, but, you know, it's that time of the year where it comes and goes, and you get a little and it's gone in a day or so.
Yeah, I know, Steve. Well, in another few weeks, we're going to be starting spring.
So my calendar says.
That's right, Steve. All right, so what's new in your life?
Nope, absolutely nothing at the moment. Just left a service call stop and going into the office. That's about it.
Hi, Steve. You know, I have to sell the house. I don't want to leave, but... the taxes, I can't pay the back taxes. So, I got a guy who was really interested, and he's coming here today to make some measurements to do some work. So he's obviously very, very interested. And the realtor is looking for me for a rental around here. In this area. So everything is starting to shape up.
Okay, well, you gotta do what you gotta do. And I'm sure you'll manage to make things work out.
Absolutely, Steve. All I need is a 2-bedroom house. For myself only. And, I'm gonna do a listing a few minutes ago. Barry is going to come over and put the antennas up. I want a best buddy. That means a cat.
Well, there you go. They're self-maintaining for the most part, cats.
That's why I want a cat over a dog. You know my situation, I'm very easy to take care of.
Yep. Hang on one sec. Just trying to keep an eye on what traffic is going on here and which way to go. It is a nice day out. I don't know if you've peeked out the window yet, but I don't, over here, I don't see a cloud in the sky.
I know, same here. Where are you?
I'm currently on the Grand Central Parkway over by the Clearview in Queens.
Okay, well, you're coming in perfect. You're quieting into the repeater. And that's about it.
Yeah, it's sort of just, I'm only a couple of minutes from the repeater, so it's entirely unexpected.
Right. You told me once before, you live out here on Long Island, I believe. I don't know what they're doing with all this tax money.
Yeah, unfortunately, everything's high. But Nassau and Suffolk seem to be rather up there, and certainly less so than the five boroughs from what I've gathered.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Even with a reduction because of my disability, I still can't afford it. That's why I gotta leave. And I love the house, I love the community, but I can't stay here. So anyway, I'm going to try and rent a house around here. The realtor is helping me with that, too. He said to me, once we go into contract, and it looks like we will, he's going to start looking for me.
Yeah. Will you excuse me, Rich? I have a phone call. I'll be right back. WDQZSA.
Okay, Steve, I'll stand by and to we go.
Good morning, KC2UUM in the blind, looking for a condition report here about 7 miles west of the Selden Repeater in Ronkonkoma. Hello. KC2UUM with a condition report here about 7 miles inside west of the Islip Airport. Hello. There's someone in there. This is KC2UUM about 2 miles west of the Islip Airport and using this repeater on a Bofang UB5 Romeo 5R. Good morning.
Victor Mobile.
K2QBV Mobile, Nanuet, New York. Listening, repeat.
Morning, Joel, N2ZUC Mobile.
Hello, Ron. How are you? I start my HR 213-218 in another 10 days.
Okay, I hope you have some good weather. No fun being out in bad weather. That should be fun.
Well, he gave me the list and sat down with me. He said, "Do you know what these guys do? What do they forget their 30 years? You really watch. You really have to watch them carefully."
Safety first, right?
But they do stupid things, he said. He said amazing things, and he clogged it up, you know. So I said, okay, well, I've been doing this for a while. I did it once before for him, but they had a new guy who came in from the FBI, and he's the director of the whole project. So, in fact, I had to be interviewed and make sure I'm up to snuff, you know.
Okay. I wonder if they made any changes. I haven't been up there for, I guess, 4 years. I've been going out here to the Nassau County range.
Well, the only thing is they no longer let civilians go into the police range. I mean, you can't even walk in the gate. So I had to pass his inspection and the questions and this and that. So I asked him what his background was, and actually Peter told me later he was an FBI agent and did this, did that. I said, okay. So yes, and I do hope it's going to be nice weather. It's certainly cold, you know, yesterday, today it's 35 degrees. Let's see what it is. 35 degrees. So where are you off to? The gym or the swimming?
You're close. I left the gym. I did some grocery shopping. I need to get some gas for the car. Then I'll go home for lunch. So what are you up to?
Well, I went out to Staples. I had to get a particular pen I use for the radio. And I couldn't find it, and I waited, and they found it, not in black, but in blue. It's a bold print, you know, pen. And I'm sitting in front of a deli, and I want to get one of the sandwiches. They open up the lunch at 10:45. So, I'm sitting here. It's only 10:35. So, on Mondays, they have the prime rib sandwich. It's good. This afternoon, Karen went out to, well, she's already going there with me this afternoon. She went out to get a new car. So I'm going to meet her at the dealer and she'll get a new car and sign the papers. And that's it. And then we'll have to go home and see if we're going to pay for it, okay?
Well, you got a plan ahead about paying for it. I wonder what kind of car. And on, it depends. If you're not aware of it, I found out years ago, it's a good idea to write your checks with a gel pen that can't be washed, because on a rare occasion somebody might get hold of your checks like you're sending out to pay for a bill or something, and they wash the ink off and put down gel blow so they can collect the money. You aware of that?
It's a funny thing, Ron. I never heard of a gel pen until half hour ago when I was in Staples, and it was an ink or gel. I said, what is that? No, I use it for my pad here. So Karen decided she had a VW, an EOS, sports car, EOS, and they don't make them anymore in America or anything. So I told her, she bought a Mercedes. So she's getting a nice Mercedes. Now she's going back to negotiate the color, because if she wants this off color red, it's more money. So that's what we're doing this afternoon.
I wish you luck. Use it in good health. They're charging more money for a red car. I have a red car. Actually, I bought it in 2011. It's a Ford Taurus. And it was a special paint, but it happened to be on the lot. It's the one I liked. It had what I wanted in it. So I guess I probably did pay more of it. At one time, they charged you higher insurance rates for a red car way back when.
I have a little car like that, and red before.
going back to the other thing, the only new regulation for the HR is, I don't know if it's new, but they said it was, they're really pushing it, no cross drawer or ankle holsters.
No, it's not, Lou. Not new. That's a very dangerous thing on the line, especially cross drawer.